Welcome to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast, and I'm your host, Jerry Alexander. This show is all about commercial property investing for the private investor. Whether you're just getting started or scaling up your portfolio, through interviews, tips and lessons learned along the way, we want to give you the inspiration, knowledge and confidence to enjoy this great cash flowing strategy. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today by John Loudon of Property Auctions Scotland to talk us through the process of auctions, particularly obviously to do with commercial property. So welcome, John.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Thanks for joining us. John, we've done a couple of things recently. I've been to one of your events because I've got back to live and rooms, which is fantastic. And I know you have been running during lockdown some online events as well, providing a great, I guess, environment for people to network, but also just sharing some experiences and knowledge about auctions.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you coming and joining us and doing the same for the podcast.
No, thank you.
Maybe you could just give us a wee background about yourself, though, and how you've actually got to this point in your career with property auctions.
Okay, no, with pleasure, and thanks for the invitation, Jerry. So I've been with Auction House Scotland for just over 7 years. The company itself, in current format, has been probably in excess of 10, 11 years, something like that. Prior to this, I was involved with letting services business. I was never a letting agent. I was dealing with pre and post tenancy services. So for about 4 or 5 years, I was looking after setting up tenancy agreements, tenant referencing, rent guarantees, those kind of things. And a lot of it also then gravitated towards the back end, being service notice, recovery of arrears, small claims, those kind of
all that lovely stuff.
So as part of that, I was doing a little bit of property sourcing or coming across properties that were available. That brought me into contact with the guys at Auction House because I put a couple of properties through auction as part of that. And then an opportunity arose to join up with the team in a sort of business development type role, and I've been delighted to have been doing that for those 7 odd years since then. So happy days, all good.
And what I do find interesting is in your role, obviously you're out looking at lots of different properties that potentially going to come to auction. It must be fascinating. You must have seen a right mixture of properties.
a mixture is probably quite a good term, yeah. Yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And I know the title of the business is Property Auction Scotland, but just to clarify, geographically, what kind of area do you cover? Do you go into the north of England at all? How does that work?
So, well, just for clarity, it's Auction House Scotland, Jerry. So Auction House Scotland is part of Auction House UK. So as you've said, the name of the business would suggest that geographically we cover Scotland, which we absolutely do. We do, depending on the client. We talk about client vendor choice, really. So if somebody that we've dealt with regularly has property outside of our normal geographic range, then absolutely we can do it. If somebody has property who would prefer to use a local auction house, then we are quite happy to partner up with one of the other auction house locations. So whilst we cover Scotland, we have about another 40 locations through the through the business. So yeah, I mean, there's no geography is not a limitation, and we can either directly or in partnership with one of our sister businesses, we can deal with property of any variety in any area. So yeah, it works very well.
Great. That's fantastic to hear. Right. Okay. And interesting, I was looking at your current auction properties on the website just earlier on, and it is a good mix. There are quite a few commercial in there, from hotels to restaurants. Yep. In fact, one of the restaurants that's on the site, my wife and I used to go to years ago, and it was a Chinese restaurant that we liked going to.
The one in Dunfermline.
The one in Dunfermline.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah. No, I like you, have been there as well. So, that's probably, it's commercial, but it's probably the uglier end of commercial.
Yes.
I suggest if you've looked at the pictures as well.
Yeah, it's been vacant for a little while, hasn't it?
Well, and I don't think we'd be going through the front door just now to have a curry, would you?
And, you know, and it just out of interest, is hospitality an area where you are seeing more properties, or is it kind of business as usual?
I think we've always been involved in hospitality and leisure businesses generally. I guess over the last couple of 3 years, you know, maybe that sector has had its challenges, let's say, and, you know, licensed trade, I guess, particularly from as early as the, I guess, the smoking ban, really, things started to change a little bit in that respect. So, yeah, pubs, retail premises, you know, restaurants, hotels, B&Bs, as you've seen. Yeah, we get regular opportunities through all of those sectors. I mean, auction doesn't necessarily provide the perfect solution for any or all of those, but it's, you know, it's always an option that can be presented, and if it works, it works, you know. But yeah, I mean, commercial doesn't form the biggest part of what we do as an auction house broadly, but we're seeing a growing demand from investors like yourself to maybe look at, you know, commercial for commercial, as I think is more your slant, but yeah, commercial to residential is also gaining traction as well. So, yeah, lots of opportunities, and our buyer base, I would suggest, for those type of opportunities is probably growing fairly regularly. So, yeah, keen to keep expanding that side of the business.
Okay, so maybe we should take a wee step back here and actually just go through the process. Mm-hmm. So from the stage when you may get a call or an email or something about mm-hmm. a potential property, can you just talk us through that process of going out to view, if indeed you do, the auction of the property, and then through, of course, to the keys being handed over, whether or not you're involved in that process? Maybe you could just talk us through that.
Yeah, and it's good to point out there is a process. People think it's a fairly random setup, but there's absolutely is a method behind the madness. So the first step, of course, is to understand the client's needs or wants, because at the end of the day, you know, we've got to try and match that. So people's circumstances are different. So understanding the client's situation, what they're looking to achieve, how quickly they're looking to achieve, and, you know, in terms of pound notes, I guess. So, you know, particularly with commercial, as hopefully you'll agree, Jerry, commercial property tends to focus more on potential returns than it does necessarily on bricks and mortar. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's maybe something, you know, we can sell properties that are currently tenanted or vacant. So if it's tenanted, you know, what's the rent that's coming in? What kind of rental yield would a commercial investor be looking to achieve in any given area or any given sector for that matter? Because I think those numbers probably differ. If it's vacant property, you know, what would be the outcome? Or the end game, if you like, and, you know, whether it is for rental or whether it's for some form of conversion or change of use. So understanding the client situation, looking to see what we feel to be, from our experience and from, you know, from current comparables, what for an auction audience would we feel to be a reasonable guide price auction? What's the guide prices, as you probably know?
Yeah.
So the guide price is there to attract competitive interest, because clearly an auction requires, you know, competition to be, you know, to maximize its success. So at what level do we feel we could list with a guide price, or what guide price could we list with, rather, to attract that competition? And obviously, if the client is on the same page as us, to coin a cliche in that respect, then, you know, we would look to list the property, obviously get the formal instruction from the client, and move things forward in terms of, you know, floor plans, leases, if there's a lease in place, photography, all the good stuff. List it through all the key portals, Rightmove Commercial, Zoopla Commercial. We've started using Reala, which many of you will know as well. And basically just, you know, assess the strength of interest. Commercial is possibly, because of the comps and the yields and those kind of things, it may not be as quite as precise a science, let's say, as maybe residential, because I mean, you're an expert in the field, Jerry, but you know, sometimes it's a little bit more challenging to find the, you know, the pound, shillings and pence exact price point. But ultimately, as we say every day, you know, something's worth what someone's going to pay for it. So we'll come at it with best intentions and assess the strength of interest from our buyer's network. Hopefully, assuming that the interest comes at a level that should produce a successful sale, We would then agree with the client what the reserve price is. So to help people understand, the guide price is there to attract the competition. The reserve price is the minimum level below which we cannot sell it in an auction environment, be it live or, you know, live in room or online or live stream. But the reserve does have a link to the guide. The reserve can be no more than 10% above the guide price. It's a confidential number, but agreed between ourselves and the seller. It doesn't need to be at the maximum level, and indeed it can be below the guide price. But in most circumstances, we want the guide to be as aggressive as it can be, attract the competition, get it into the, let's just talk about live auction rooms, because we're delighted to be back live in the room now, which is great. So agree the reserve, and then our auctioneer will run the auction in the room. So what we're always cautious of by protecting a seller's asset is we won't tend to list something in the catalogue for the live room if there has been no interest. Because the process, you may want to cover this in a moment, but the process of due diligence on behalf of the buyer involves their review of the legal pack, review of the lease, if indeed there is one, speaking to a solicitor, looking at the funding, phoning us, you know, coming to viewings. If none of that has happened, with the best will in the world, we know 99.9% that property is not going to sell on auction. So we want to assess the interest first and foremost. If the interest is there, put it into the next available auction, and then let the auctioneer and the auction process do what it does so particularly well, which is to have people competing and bidding against each other, and subject to reaching the reserve, the highest bidder will win the property.
Let me take a moment to thank Office R&D for supporting the podcast. It's really important to us that we only work with sponsors that we've used ourselves. It's all about being authentic, right? Office R&D is the best flexible workspace platform we've come across, and believe me, we've tried a few systems over the last 20 years. Office R&D helps us manage our invoicing, customer community, reporting, building access, and many more aspects of our day-to-day operations. Why not book yourself a free demo to see how they can help you free up more time to grow your business? Follow the partner link in the show notes.
But if it doesn't, if it hasn't had the interest, and commercial particularly sometimes can take a little while to find the right level or attract the interest because of the due diligence that a buyer needs to go through. If it hasn't had any interest, we won't show it to the room. And the reason for that is that if something goes unsold through auction, then the sort of perceived value can reduce and does reduce.
Yeah.
So we're always keen to be very responsible in terms of how we list the property and how we lot the property to make sure that we are retaining the value of the client's asset as best we can. But ultimately, yes, get into the room, let bidding do what it does so well, and get it sold and secured for the seller.
And once the hammers come down and it's been agreed, there is then a certain period of time that the transaction has to take place.
The confines of auction determine that. We run what's called an unconditional auction. So what that means is if a property sells in the auction for, say, £200,000 for sake of a number, a 10% deposit, so £20,000 deposit in that case, is required at time of agreement on sale. And the transaction is required to complete, unless the seller has agreed otherwise, but typically the transaction will complete in no more than 28 days. It can be less than that. So again, I guess we'll probably touch on it. It's something that potential buyers want to be fully aware of. It's what the expectation is in terms of completion. But in simplest sense, 10% unconditional deposit, 28 days completion, and on or before those 28 days, the other 90% of the agreed sale becomes payable.
So just going back through that, John, it strikes me that the seller, from a seller's point of view, the process may not be as quick as they might first think, in that obviously we need to align up with a date of an actual auction, but equally your process is to make sure that there is some interest in the property. So it may get listed.
Yeah.
It may get listed and not actually listed in that property auction if it appears that there's no appetite for it at that point, and the seller's going to have to wait a little bit of time until there's enough exposure for the property. Yeah,
without a doubt. I mean, priced properly, we would expect any property, be it commercial or residential, to attract interest almost immediately. Mm-hmm. And you know, then you've got to reflect the amount of time that a buyer would need to do their own due diligence, as we mentioned, because, you know, the more complex that due diligence, or the more complex the opportunity, let's say, perhaps that may take a little while longer. But in a general sense, probably the property is available and for sale as soon as we're under instruction. We have it listed on the portals, wherever those may be. But 3 weeks probably should be about enough time for a properly priced property to attract the interest, allow us to conduct viewings and whatever else needs to be done, and have, you know, more fully assessed the interest. So yes, it's for sale immediately, but it won't necessarily go immediately into the auction room. But we're always careful to make sure that sellers fully understand what that is, and the speed of completion is if you like stage two of the process. So pre-marketing or pre-auction marketing, and then the actual auction sale would be the simplest way.
Some of these properties will sell before auction.
They
some
can
will
do.
Sell mm-hmm. after auction. Mm-hmm. What's the kind of percentages on that? I've not primed you on that, but you know, is there you know, if you had half a dozen commercial properties going into an auction, would you expect any of them to go beforehand? Is it the rare occasion when they do, or?
It's a how long is a piece of string question, I suppose, really. But a lot of that relies, again, I'm not trying to avoid a direct question, I sound like a politician, but a lot depends on the feedback from the market. We have to recognise that the property is the, you know, it's owned by the client, so we'll always, as any agency would do, we always take clients' instructions. So largely, the decision whether to pre-sell or, you know, during pre-auction marketing, pre-sell, is as much as then determined by the client's situation.
Of course, yeah.
If they, you know, if time is absolutely of the essence, then even if we have a property which has attracted, you know, relatively strong interest, but an offer comes in, if the client chooses to accept that, you know, we may recommend to the client that, you know, we think this should go to the auction room and will do quite well. If the auction, for example, is 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out, and they feel that, you know, the extra couple of £3,000 or however much it may be, you know, bidding can go crazy, you know, but we could say, look, we think we'll do better in the auction room. If they want to sell it, they absolutely can do that, at which point it's still going to be secured unconditionally, and the 28 days starts from then. So no, I don't think there'd be an absolute percentage. You know, recent events or over the last couple of years maybe have changed people's attitude because they maybe not been able to sell, or they've taken a while to formulate their you know, exact motivation. But I mean, it's available, it's for sale. If the client wants to sell it, they can do that.
So it does happen. It does happen.
It does happen, absolutely. Yeah.
Not all the time. And we're just talking there, or you were mentioning about speed and that being one of the main reasons, or a reason somebody why wants to sell through an auction. What other reasons have you come across? I mean, I think a lot of people feel, or certainly are wary of commercial property going through auction. They think, well, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. But there'll be more reasons than just speed, John, that people put things into auction. Maybe you could just talk a little bit through that.
I think the main thing, again, particularly maybe coming at it from a commercial perspective, and where we've had success in a number of partnerships with conventional commercial agents, if you like, that we've created, two are inextricably linked, but the certainty of the sale, and again, you know, I defer to your far greater expertise, Jerry, but my understanding of commercial is that very often offers that are made are, you know, loaded with various conditions, be they planning, be they changing, whatever those conditions may be. And the risk, I guess, of that from a seller's perspective is that if those conditions aren't satisfied over whatever length of time is taken to determine whether they are or they aren't, if those conditions aren't satisfied, the sale will fall through. So not only has the seller then lost however long that's taken to get to an end in terms of time, they may also have lost other potential buyers who were showing interest at that time. I kind of say that, you know, we're competing for people's money. And I think that's definitely the case when you're dealing in an investor market. You know, you as an investor yourself, Terry, you're looking for opportunity, you're looking for return. And if you can't get your opportunity from property A because it's you know, under offer, you know, you're absolutely going to go off and look at opportunity B, C, D, whatever that is. So, you know, you may have been interested 3 months ago, but in that passing of 3 months, you found something else. So you've counted yourself out. Yeah. So that certainty of sale, the unconditional nature that we operate, has proved to be hugely beneficial within the commercial market. So the two big boxes are always going to be speed and certainty, but particularly from commercial, I think the certainty has played as big a role as the speed has.
Interesting. Okay, so with the commercial properties that come through, again, one of those string questions, but is there a reasonable number that are coming through perhaps liquidations, or are a lot of them actually coming directly from landlords or business owners?
A bit of both. I mean, the corporate sales across the board are probably not as prevalent in auction as many people would think they are. Because of the slant towards residential, in the residential market in terms of auction sales, probably only about 2% of the total sales are of that nature, corporate, be they insolvency or be they, you know, repossession. Does that number hold true with commercial? No, I couldn't be 100% certain. We've probably done more directly with the seller. So, I mean, it's, you know, privately owned or however it's owned, rather than insolvency or repossession. But yeah, I mean, we do in auction broadly, you know, we do get corporate work, but it's not at as high a level as probably some people think.
Yeah, it is. Interesting. Okay. Mm. Let's just talk a little bit about some lots. So recently, have things changed, or has business continued in the same kind of vein? And what I mean by that is just the type of properties that are coming through. Has that changed at all? Is it more office, more industrial, less industrial perhaps? Mm. What have you noticed, John? Any trends?
I think, as again, deferring to your expertise, I think in terms of the general market, there's some areas that have done, you know, particularly well. You know, offices, obviously, because of circumstance, have probably come to the market maybe more as companies perhaps look to downsize or change the way that they've been working. Industrial has continued to be quite a strong market anyway. Yeah. So where most of ours has been is, touching back on what we spoke about earlier, you know, pubs, bed and breakfasts, you know, people's view of life generally has changed over 2 or 3 years, hasn't it?
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know, what's important has differed. So I would say our slant probably has been in those kind of areas, maybe not in larger hotels and those kind of things, but, you know, bed and breakfasts that perhaps have struggled, pubs, as we've touched upon. But from a positive point of view, we can bring more to the party now because of the demand coming in from buyers. So, you know, we spoke about commercial to residential conversion. There's stronger demand for that currently because people are looking at different projects as much as anything, because they've maybe not been able to get some of the off-market, more vanilla residential deals than they've been able to get before. So I don't think the types of commercial entities that we're dealing with has probably changed too much, but I would suggest that possibly the buyer types or the numbers of buyers has probably changed a little bit in terms of more interest for individual properties, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, it's interesting. And people are educating themselves much more. 100%. Interestingly, a couple of individuals that we're working with are looking at that guest house market, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. trying to develop out still in the accommodation market, but effectively taking out, stripping out the costs and the non-income producing areas and making those into lettable space. Mm-hmm. So they're taking that traditional model and putting technology in there to run it rather than people.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that on one side that market is waning and on the other side there's some really good opportunities there.
Yeah.
Have you come across any odd, peculiar lots in your time, John? Any interesting?
The more peculiar, the better, I think. We had a sort of in the early days of our business, before my time in the business, but probably one that put a line in the sand and you know, bolted us into the market was we actually sold, you remember a character, Jimmy Savile?
Oh, yes.
Infamous. We probably 10 years or so ago, we sold his residential property up in Glencoe. Uh-huh. It generated for us as a business, obviously, you know, massive levels of publicity, probably both good and bad, because there was probably plenty of people who didn't want the property sold. Yeah. There was plenty of people who wanted to forget all about it. But the whole press around that was massive, and I think that probably promoted our business quite strongly in terms of the publicity that was around that. So that was obviously some time ago. More recently, we've done some, again, closer to our home. We did an amazing deal up in a piece of farmland just north of Dunfermline, where it was a ruined structure. It wasn't necessarily commercial, but it was one of those ones that was very difficult to put any sort of number against. So we had it on a guide of, if I recall, £35,000. It was a 5-acre plot, but it was going to be a difficult development, commercial or otherwise. £35,000. It sold at auction for $160,000. So
wow.
You know, it's just the more unusual the better, because as you mentioned, people are getting more educated, and are, you know, to coin a cliched phrase, you know, working within a power team that are producing, you know, quite stunning ideas and great goals. And some of these, we can only paint a picture of opportunity, I guess, as best as we can. But some of the people that are now entering the market and the ideas that they've got, as you mentioned, a properly priced opportunity can bring people towards it that we would never have perceived before, and hence the competition and hence the huge success of some auction sales. But everyone has some story behind it, but some are absolutely a little bit more unique, let's say, than others. And you know, the one you mentioned, the restaurant as well, you know, that could be, there's lots of different ways that could be utilized or converted, you know, mixed use, or could, you know, perhaps be all residential, you know, or maybe keep some commercial on the bottom and the residential on the top. So, you know, I would never try and second guess what somebody's going to do with something that's a little bit more off the wall, you know.
Have you seen any where you've been surprised yourself, where maybe somebody's managed to, certainly in your mind, pick up a bargain? Is there still opportunities there where properties go through the auction and maybe you've only come across it a year or so later and somebody's done something that you just think, wow, that is not what we perceived that property could have been used for?
Maybe not so much in terms of use, but just in terms of what people can do. You know, even you know, on a residential side, I'm continually amazed as to how well and how quickly those that are expert in the field, yourself included, can, you know, visualize and create some of the outcomes that they do, and to such a high quality within, you know, a very, I'll call myself uneducated because I'm not an investor myself, but to the uneducated in terms of how well, quickly and cost effectively somebody can do some of these amazing transformations. Remembering that we're acting for the selling clients, Jerry. So if somebody's getting a bargain, we've probably not done our job particularly well.
Don't worry, John. Don't worry. Yeah. It's only between you and me, this conversation.
we want people to, we want to serve our sellers particularly well and achieve the very best numbers that we can. But from a buyer's perspective, you know, we would far rather have people that have had a good buying experience, and whether that's good in terms of the price that they've got something for, or whether it's good just in terms of their general experience, we would rather have people that have enjoyed dealing with us and come back because they want to deal with us again, and they know that, you know, we're being open and transparent and doing things properly, because it's far easier to sell more to less people than is to keep finding new people to sell to. So,
of course, yeah.
You know, that's our sort of philosophy. So, yeah, bargains is a strange word. We want both the buyer and the seller to be happy with the outcome. Does that sound political?
I can understand that political answer. Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about that information and due diligence, because my personal experience with some, I've never actually bought during auction.
And okay.
I have bought before and after, but one of the things that sometimes frustrates me or almost amuses me is that sometimes the information packs, and I'm not talking about Auction House Scotland, sometimes the information packs can be slightly ambiguous, maybe even possibly presented in a, dare I say, slightly misleading, or at least it could feel that way, misleading way. What do you do in terms of due diligence to make sure that that buyer information pack is as full as possible? Is there some fundamentals that must be in there from the seller?
I guess the only must-haves are the title sheet, the title plan, I guess. If something has been through planning, if somebody says to us, well, you know, this it's been planning approved, blah, 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 then obviously we would want that to be within the information pack that we are providing. There's probably a differences between, you know, the legal pack, which, you know, many people will have heard that the phrase, there's a legal pack is provided to us through the solicitors.
Yeah.
But the related information that we want to provide as a reputable brand will be to make sure that what a client has said to us, we can verify as best we possibly can. So if somebody says something's been through planning, absolutely we want to make the planning documents and any related information available. If somebody says they've got a lease or a tenancy agreement in place at X amount for X amount of time, and breaks and this and that, then obviously we want to be able to present that to the potential buyers as well. So, you know, we would like to try and put ourselves in a buyer's position when we're bringing stock on to say, well, what would they need and how much of that can we get? Now, it's also fair to say that sometimes, and it's not necessarily condition related, but sometimes there's gaps in information that is what perhaps has ended up with the property being
on the auction
anyway. So we will always endeavour to try and fill as best we can any of those gaps. If somebody asks us something, we will always try and find it out. If we would never miss something out by intention, and we know where the basic level what should be there, just through experience and through, you know, dealing with the likes of yourself, Jerry, and other expertise as well. So, but if somebody asks us a question, we will always try and find out. If we can't find out, we can't find out. And that's, yeah, I guess, is the element of risk, I suppose, that's associated with an unconditional auction purchase. But we'll certainly not leave anything out that we've got. If we know something, we're duty bound to reveal it. If we don't know, we'll try and find out. If we can't find out, clearly we can't include it. So,
yeah.
I guess it ultimately becomes the buyer's attitude to risk, but not for a moment, and I don't know whether this is what you're getting at or not for a moment are we actually trying to catch somebody out. That's not what we're about, and it shouldn't be what any reputable auction company is about. Legal buy should exist. There are minimum requirements of what should be in that. any other information we'll always try and get, and so we can present this fuller picture. But if we can only get it to 90%, well, you know, the buyer needs to satisfy themselves that the 10% they're happy with, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And as you said, from a business point of view, to grow a business, you want repeat customers. It's just 100%. Easier to keep repeat customers and serve them again and again, whereas finding new customers just takes more effort, doesn't it?
Good repeat business is great, but also with the online world being as it is now, if you were to buy something through me or through ourselves and we made it a bad experience, not only would you never buy from us, but you tell everybody else why they shouldn't buy from us as well.
It's very transparent world now, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. So Google ratings and Trustpilot and all the good stuff that exists, you know, we want good reviews, and one bad review can you know, seriously damage a business, and we don't want to be part of that.
Yeah. So just leading on from that, the last couple of questions here. If somebody's just starting out from a buyer's point of view, they've maybe started building up their portfolios in commercial, and now they're starting to spot one or two coming through auction. What are kind of the top three tips you would give someone who's sort of starting to approach this now?
Number one is due diligence, clearly, and that encompasses a lot, and it probably is everything with you know, due diligence point one, point two, point three. Make sure that you've got some good expert advice. If you're working with a mentor, I don't know if you know anyone, Jerry, that runs mentorship. use your network. Make sure you're educated. Make sure you know this is not going to be three. Make sure you know what your end game is. With commercial to residential, particularly, or commercial broadly, your end game, there's lots of different choices. So know what you're actually going to do. And get good advice around that. You know, consider the market. Is there a market for it? Get good legal advice as well. We spoke about the legal pack. You know, let your solicitor, a specialist solicitor, probably from a commercial environment, have a look at that. Don't trust your own judgment unless you're, you know, very well down the road yourself. It's always worth spending a little bit of money for a solicitor to dot I's and cross T's than rely necessarily on yourself. But the big thing would be as well, make sure that you're going to be able to complete, make sure that you've got your finance in place. We're taking an unconditional deposit, not with a view of keeping somebody's money. We would never want to do that. But that is what encourages people to complete. So whatever your route to finance is, make sure that your 28 days is going to be achievable, and don't pay more than you need to pay. It sounds strange for or want to pay or don't pay more than a level at which point the deal actually still stacks. It sounds strange for an auctioneer to be saying that, because we want people to pay as much as they possibly can. Again, in the vein of we want repeat business, there will be a line, it may be maybe a hazy line sometimes, but there will be a line whereby the deal that you're thinking, or you know, the end game that you have in mind, and the costs that you've spent time and no doubt money calculating, there will be a line where it just doesn't make sense anymore. And you know, why would you do that? So, you know, don't get caught up. And that's probably, Jerry, why maybe you've had greater success maybe pre-auction and post-auction, because you're not getting involved and fully in a bidding environment.
Don't trust yourself.
That's the thing. If you're in the room, you know, or it's just another 1,000, or it's just another 5,000. Every time I'm talking to people, I'm keen to say, look, you know, don't go beyond where the deal actually continues to stack.
I think what some people don't realize when they're bidding against somebody else who is driving the price up is that they might not have the same strategy or outcome that you're projecting, and therefore the property has a different value to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if you're still competing on the basis that you believe they're going to be doing exactly the same thing, and you know, I just need to get it, that's when you really start getting into trouble.
Oh, 100%. Again, slanting over to residential, that's something that does happen. Now, you know, 28 days is not an awful long time for a conventional, you know, owner-occupier type buyer to buy something. Normal lending maybe doesn't move quite as quickly as that. But, you know, we've definitely had instances where owner-occupiers have been bidding against investors. Owner-occupiers are going to be there for 10 years, 15 years, whatever. You know, the margin doesn't really matter to them. But as an investor, you know, if you're looking to flip, be it commercial, be it residential, you know, you're building in your margin. So there's always going to be other opportunities, always going to be. So, you know, why give away all your margin just by getting caught in a bidding environment? Yeah. But so know where the lines are and try not to go beyond them.
Okay. All right. Thanks, John. That's been a great vision into how auctions work and how sellers and buyers can benefit from them. What I'm getting from you is that the auction lots that are coming out aren't significantly changing in the types that are coming out. But what is changing is a little bit more sophistication from the buyer point of view, yeah, and a little bit more competition there. And some of those quirky ones that maybe were just left before, people with a bit more confidence and experience are now picking these up because they've got some skills there on how to redevelop them out to new offers. They've worked out what the market wants, and this particular property is maybe not providing that right now, but they've worked out a way of doing that.
Yeah.
Looking forward, and I know this is difficult again, but looking forward, what's your feelings for the next sort of 12 months? Have you seen any indication that things are slowing down, that the phone calls are still happening, that everything is still moving in the same direction?
I think you're asking me a question that many, many experts wouldn't really be able to answer, would they? But the mood in the camp certainly seems to be that things are slowing. Are we in recession? Are we approaching recession? I don't know. Ask five experts, you get five different replies, probably, wouldn't you? But certainly over the last couple of months, I think a lot of the heat in the market, and I guess the same would apply in commercial, a lot of the heat in the market was driven by a lack of supply for any number of different reasons. That I think is balancing a little bit. I think the market is probably still buoyant in inverted commas, but we are getting more interest or more inquiry from those who are on the market who historically would have sold with a snap of a finger. Okay, commercial doesn't maybe sell necessarily quite as quickly as that because of the complexity of the process, but I have no reason to think that that's going to be that would necessarily mean it's any different. So we were affected as a company by the strength of the conventional market, and dare I say that, you know, more estate agent we're probably selling stock which 3 years ago we may have regarded as our stock, really.
Yes.
And that's starting to change. You know, the slower stock is becoming more obvious than perhaps it was before. So we're certainly seeing or hearing the telephone ringing a little bit more with people who are becoming a little bit frustrated with the speed of the transaction not being there as they expect it to be. And I guess probably degree of overpricing is impact. Things are exceeding whatever level. You know, value and sales value are not necessarily the same thing, are they? So, you know, properties were selling particularly well, and I think that's changing. So, yeah, 12 months. Oh gosh, I don't know. But the mood in the camp is it's slow. That's drifting. That's drifting more opportunity back towards us, I think.
Yeah. So really, for listeners, is just watch this space. Keep. It's maybe a good time to get back into the auction circles. Just
always a good time, Jerry.
Of course. But for those that maybe have been sitting on the fence for a little bit, John, it's time to get back in there and get a visual of what's happening. So when the right bargain comes up. Bargain, that's the wrong word, right? When the right property comes up for you, you're ready for it because you've already done some analysis on what's happening through the auction houses. So,
absolutely.
John, for those that want to do that, where can they find you? Can you give us just a few details on Auction House Scotland?
We're on all the social media channels. So we have our Facebook page. I don't have the addresses in front of me, Jerry, unfortunately, but I mean, you'll find it easy enough. So Auction House Scotland Facebook page, Instagram, is the thing. I don't claim to understand Instagram much, but it exists. and we're there. LinkedIn as well. My personal page on LinkedIn. And obviously, you know, I believe you're still allowed to pick up the phone and connect with people that way. So the office number is 0141 339 4466. We have various information available as well, which we're always happy to email out, help people understand. We want people to be comfortable with auction. We want to take away the fear and the uncertainty, so we're always happy to try and educate. My personal email address is john@auctionhousescotland.com, So you can reach me through any of those, and as I say, the social media channels are easily found as well.
Fantastic, John. And we'll put your email and phone number in the bottom of the show notes.
Ah, brilliant. So thank you.
Can pick it up there too. So thank you so much for your time.
No, it's you're welcome, Jerry. Thank you.
Been very interesting. And we'll catch up again very soon, John. Thank you.
Fantastic. Nice one. Thanks, Jerry.
Hi there. I hope you're enjoying the content delivered on the CPI podcast. Even though it's free to listen to, it actually takes quite a bit of time and financial commitment to deliver each and every episode. Did you know that by leaving a positive written review, you, yes, you, will have a direct impact on the visibility of the podcast? And that's really important, because by reaching a wider audience, it helps our team to continually improve the overall content that we deliver to you week after week. For some of you, leaving a review will be second nature, but for others, it might be a first one. Open your podcast app, pick the CPI podcast and search for previous reviews. And on iTunes in particular, click to look at all of the reviews and then you'll see an option to leave a written review. Go on, it'll only take 2 minutes and it'll really make our day. And we genuinely read every single one of them.